I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. The start of the new league year.
It smells new. Smells fresh. Like you're walking into a new car.
It's like one of those weird, like, oh, it feels like a new year, but you didn't know it. Like when it's like Chinese New Year. Like, oh, we went from the year of the pig to the year of the dog. It's like we've gone from the 2023 calendar year to the NFL's 2024 calendar year.
It's like brand new, you know, like you get that CD case back in the day and you rip it off. Brand new CD. You open it up. Yeah. No fingerprints on it. No smudge marks.
No stems, no seeds, no sticks.
The real sticky, icky, icky. Ooh-wee.
Throw it in the air. And it's also yet another prime example of how the NFL makes holidays out of nothing. You know, it's
so like,
the combine's wrapping up. Let's start the new league year. Let's get people like talking about something else.
What? Brilliant. Baseball starting? Nobody cares about that.
Nope. It's the start of they invented a new calendar in football. Let's talk about that for the next 72 hours.
So good. They're so good at owning the news cycle. They own the news cycle 24/7.
Owning it with nothing. That's the best part. The Raiders are busy. Day one, Christian Wilkins. We did an entire video on that. Fantastic defensive tackle that we picked up. Arguably the best free agent in the draft, and the free agent in free agency, potentially. It was a position of desperate need that we really needed. Love it. We'll get to that a little bit more. Gardner Minshew picked up by the Raiders. Getting backup money. Expensive backup money, 2 years, 25 mil, 15 mil guaranteed. It's crazy how like 7 years ago, that's low end starter money. Now it's like, oh yeah, that's backup money. Like now it's the quarterback market and salary cap is just exploding. Which led us to ask the question, and we put it a poll on YouTube. We'll put it down in the comment section as well. Question of the day. Who will be the Raiders starting quarterback Week one? There's only two on the roster: Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, or other. You can also bet the field on this one. Gardner Minshew, the veteran, Aiden O'Connell, the second-year player, or literally any other man, woman, or child on God's green earth. Dead heat on the two quarterbacks we have. 30% of you say Gardner Minshew, 29% of you say Aiden O'Connell, 41% of you are saying it is a quarterback that is currently not on the Raiders roster. It says a lot that Aiden O'Connell, the rookie that went 5-5, fourth round player, just kind of got thrust in there when he had to, was never supposed to be the starting quarterback, was never got the first team reps really. And the same amount of you think he's going to start over a guy with like six playoff games under his belt, Gardner Minshew.
It's a strange man. It's a weird situation, you know, like there is a lot of merit behind the AOC crowd, right? Yep. The Favre camp. Yeah, he didn't have a very focused I don't want to use the word productive, but I don't know what other word to use right now. He wasn't paid a lot of attention to in minicamp, and he went in there for the preseason games, but once the season started, he was kind of like an afterthought.
Yeah.
And, that did hurt his development. And, you know, going through basically having his third coordinator in two seasons, in a season, because he's heading into the second season with another coordinator. So that's three in basically 1 year, because this year hasn't started yet. And he has to learn a whole new system. And it's just, you know, yeah. With more consistency and stuff like that, can he make a big jump? It's not out of the realm of possibility, but that big jump has to incorporate things that he hasn't shown us he's able to do. So it's a little bit hard for me to think that he's going to be able to do it at the level he needs to for us to be, or for at least me to be comfortable with naming him, oh, this is for sure our starter.
Statistically, they're pretty close. Farva, in just his 10 games that he played, in Minshew, in the 13 he played last season. Farva, 2,218 yards, 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and went 5-5 as a starter, 62.1% completion percentage. RJ, why'd you add the .1? This is why. Gardner Minshew, 3,305 yards, 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, almost exactly the same ratio. And Indy last season went 7-6 as a starter. He completed 62.2% of his passes. So he's 0.1% higher completion percentage. Neither one of them all that great. That was 26th in the league. I'm going to assume Farber was 27th because it was 0.1 below. Tied for 23rd in touchdowns, 14 turnovers. That was the 11 most. And that was in only 13 games for Gardner Minshew. So they're pretty similar in a lot of ways. When the news broke, Soto, we were on our text chain. And you're like, ooh, well, I guess we're not going to trade up for the draft. And I thought exactly the opposite. Because what I've been saying forever, right? We got Farva. I want a veteran. And I want a shot at quarterback of the future, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say we trade the house for one of the top three guys. I still want a veteran, but we'll obviously a lot less attention on that veteran. If we go and, you know, if we would have signed like a Baker or something and say, okay, maybe we try, get, you know, let's throw a dart at like a second or third round quarterback and see if we can develop him, because we're paying decent money for, you know, an above average starter at quarterback. We don't have to commit quite the same amount of resources. And when I use that example of if we're betting the house, I still want a veteran, I use Gardner Minshew. I was like, hey, if we're going to get, you know, Daniels or Caleb or whoever, like, I still want a veteran, but it's like a Gardner Minshew type, right? Like, you know, a good backup. I want a good backup that you know, he could certainly win you games. But, you know, it's not, you know, pay too much for when we're developing a rookie. This still makes me think I'm with the 41%. I still think that the quarterback, starting quarterback at week one, will be some sort of rookie that we get in the draft.
I don't know that it's going to be the rookie to start the season. I could see maybe to end the season, who will be the starter. That's probably, for me, I think a stronger possibility. If you're paying, you're not paying Gardner Minshew backup money because he very well may be your starting quarterback. And if that's the case, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, when I sit back and look at it, we're going to pay Gardner Minshew to battle it out with our incumbent, who we think highly of, but he is limited. Are we going to do that to move up in the draft? I don't know. I think we might just either stay put where you are, like what you've been saying, or maybe get one in the second round.
I think the Telesco is doing the other thing I've been saying for a while too, is quarterback is such a crapshoot on whether they're going to succeed or not, especially within the draft with rookies, right? It's such a crapshoot that you have a lot of oars in the water. You have a lot of oars in the water. Far, far worse quarterbacks than Gardner Minshew have gotten a new environment and done well and played much better than we thought they were. It's happened. We're not banking on it, but it's happened. We talked about Farva, right? Like, Jimmy G had all the attention last offseason because he came in injured, didn't get to go to training camp, was way behind on the playbook. You know, he was with San Francisco for half a decade. Like, you don't just like remember a complicated playbook like Josh McDaniels. This is just pop up 5 years later, right? So it's like he required all the attention. Farva had almost no attention, multiple offensive coordinators, one of them, the quarterback destroyer in Josh McDaniels. And still, we're like, okay, you know, we got something here. So there's far more mystery with Farva than Gardner Minshew, for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, that gives me a little bit of hope for Farva that he may be able to, you know, beat Minshew out. But we've seen it last year. How many freaking 63 starting quarterbacks in the league last year? So yeah. You got to have a good backup. You got to have a decent backup that knows what he's doing.
We might just be completely overthinking all this. And the Raiders just like, look, we think Gardner Minshew at this moment is the best free agent quarterback available. We want the best. We have the cap space, right? We're not paying a franchise quarterback. Like, we just want the best guys we can in positions of need. It may not even be like, oh, here's our master plan to have this guy battle out with this guy. Let's just load up the quarterback room with the best guys that we have. because the quarterback position is so important that we can't just be like, let's hope Favre explodes leaps and bounds. Let's hope Gardner Minshew has the best season of his career. Let's hope this rookie that we draft is going to be ready to go week one. And we, you know, it's a 50-50 shot, but we nailed it. We got the right one. The quarterback position is too important. Why not have three guys that as a possibility? We're paying Favre pennies, Minshew just quality backup money, and then a guy in a rookie contract. Let's have them all out there. Let's see what we got.
Yeah. I mean, for the veteran room, which is, you know, Favre and Minshew, for those guys, yeah, I get that. But if you're going to do that, I don't know if that's smart to have two limited guys on your roster at quarterback and not go for a top guy. Not go for a guy that has all the tools, who has a little bit of that sizzle to him too, a little of that playmaker ability, stuff like that. And not as many question marks as far as maybe skill set and like physical limitations. If you're going to have...
Do you want Minshew or the rookie?
No. The rookie coming in. If you have two guys that have... Minshew and Favre, they have their limitations. Yeah. Can I see a higher ceiling for Favre? Yes, because like you said, they're pretty much equal as far as their play this year. But, you know, Minshew's what, in his sixth season, coming in his, what, sixth season? Seventh mm-hmm. season, something like that? And Favre's coming into a second. So there's that, but they're limited quarterbacks.
You know what's crazy? Minshew's only like a year older than Favre.
And he's in his sixth year?
He's in his sixth year. He's on his like third team, sixth year, fourth mustache. And he's only like 14 months older than Favre.
That's crazy. But dude, like what I'm saying is if we're gonna go that route, I don't want to get another like physically limited quarterback to go in there and battle it out with these guys. Yeah. I want to get a freaking like a dude to come in here who's got the arm strength, who has the size, who has the speed, who's shown to be a playmaker. I want to get something like that, because then it's just like, okay, well, you're limiting the ceiling on these guys, because I mean, I don't see superstar in any one of these guys, in Minshew or Favre. And you know, I would love to have a superstar at the quarterback position, but to get one, you have to draft a guy who has those skills and those attributes. So that's just my thing. If I don't want to have another guy to go along with these two vets.
Well, look, you play the hand you're dealt, right? We had Favre on the roster. Let's be optimistic, but realistic. Minshew, I mean, were we going to beat out Atlanta for, why am I blanking?
Kirk Cousins,
right? Like, that's a steep price, you know? Are we going to do, you know, that's, and it was kind of a long-term deal. You know, Baker wanted to stay where it was. Like, Gardner's basically the best free agent kind of out there. More, you know, right? There's not a lot of, like, way better. We'll get to Russell Wilson in a little bit, but, like, I mean, it was kind of Gardner. So it's like you're dealing with what you got. Yeah. And so I think what Telesco's doing is like, okay, we don't know what we're doing at quarterback. Let's have three oars in the water. Let's have three. It is not beyond the realm of like Minshew and Favre can win us games. Like they can, let's say they have to take over midway through the season. If our defense is what we're expecting it to be, they can do some damage for us. Right. Like they can do it. And then we're banking that the rookie's going to be the franchise guy. Like that's what we're
honestly banking on. I don't look at Favre and look at Minshew and look at those guys as Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. No. Not just winning the Super Bowl itself, but being able to get us there. I don't see that. I don't see that snap, crackle, pop, that sizzle coming from those guys who can be, all right, get on my back and I'm going to win this game for us.
I think he's doing what I've been thinking is like you play the odds game. Right? Like, what are the odds that Favre could be a Super winning quarterback for us? Not high. What are the odds Minshew is going to be a Super winning quarterback for us? Not high. What's the odds that a rookie that we draft will pan out and be a Super winning quarterback for us? Not high. But if you add up all three together, it's just an odds game, right? Like, if they all have like a 20% chance of maybe being that guy for us, then you add them together, you're at 60%, right? You give them all a shot. Like, unless you have the first overall or Josh Allen, or whatever, right? Like, unless you have those guys, you're just playing odds with the guys that you got. And so I understand what they're doing here. I get it. And with the hands that were dealt, I think it's the best way to go, right? Like, it's...
It makes sense. It makes sense. But yeah, it wouldn't make sense for us to wait to like the third or fourth round to grab a quarterback and to grab like the dude from Tulane or like a guy from like from Notre Dame or some just some or even like Spencer Rattler. Like he's just like a step below the top six guys. And it's not just a step below in like height and speed. It's just throwing ability and his ability to read defenses. It's all that stuff. He's just a little bit worse than everyone else. So it's like, I want to get one of the top guys. I want to get one of the, at least one for sure. One of the big six.
Well, I mean, obviously we always want the best, the best, the best, the best. We'll see what their game plan is. And we'll see if it's like, if Antonio Pierce is doing what I'm thinking that maybe those defensive coaches want to do and just be like, we'll run the ball and win with defense. We'll win with defense and run the ball. Just give me a guy that won't turn it over. Give us, we just need 24 points. I don't know. We're going to go cornerback and linebacker round one and round two in the draft. We'll get a quarterback in round five. We'll win with defense and then running the ball. The draft.
Yeah. I mean, take a look at this here. Look at for me, I think someone has to win a playoff game to be considered like, okay, this team can go on a run in the playoffs. They already beat another playoff team in the playoffs. Last year, Lamar, Stroud, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Purdy, Love, Goff, and Baker. Those are legit starters in the NFL. These aren't like guys that are like, well, I don't know.
Baker proved himself.
Yeah. But the thing is he proved himself before when he beat the Steelers in the playoffs with the Browns. Then he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Then he gets hurt again. And then the Browns let him go. So
I think Baker's more a lesson in you never avoid your draft position.
Yeah.
Because he was drafted so high, he's gonna get seven shots. And credit to him, right? Like pulled up, beat us last year on 2 days' notice, and then made it to the playoffs this year. Like,
he was slinging that thing.
He's going to keep getting chances, right?
Gonna win.
Well, one guy who won't be starting for us next season, Ruffle Wilson. Released from the Broncos with the record-breaking cap hit. Literally a bigger cap hit than the number two and number three biggest cap hits in NFL history combined.
I think that maybe he thought
number one with a bullet.
It was so big. He's like, oh, they're not going to uncut me. Yeah. That's a impossible. Big cap hit.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
Vic Taffer from The Athletic, been on the show before. One of our favorite guys covering the game. In his article this week, he said the Raiders, like Gardner Minshew more than Russell Wilson. 12 times more, it turns out, when you factor in that Wilson got 1.2. That's money found in the cushions of your couch if you're an NFL owner from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wilson wanted to come to the Raiders back in the John Gruden days. We remember that. Uh-huh. And he still did now, according to team and league sources, but the Raiders didn't see him as a fit. I'll repeat that last part. He wanted to be a Raider and he still did now, according to team and league sources. First off, how dumb are the Broncos to say yes to a deal that even John Gruden said no to? You got like the worst roster manager on God's green earth in John Gruden. And even he is like,
nah,
how many first rounders for your 35-year-old quarterback? We'll pass. Thank you. Like, how bad of a deal is it?
What was the worst deal? Was it Carolina just giving up on the freaking team in the season last year, giving away their best players and everything? Mm-hmm. And not trading away their other, like, how are you going to trade away Christian McCaffrey and not trade away Brian Burns when you can get a couple of first rounders for him, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Or what the Broncos did. All the picks, Broncos, the players, all that stuff. They're both pretty bad.
And then the contract after, like, that's the other part too. It's like, there's really bad trades. Ooh, yeah. And then the contract on the back. It was like the two. And I think that's why they both get looked at so bad, because it's like two of the worst things in a package deal. Like, it's a Russell Wilson shit sandwich.
It's like you give him just so much capital for him, and then you give him so much money. I mean, that's my opinion as to why you have to ask yourself why. You have to ask yourself, like, if he didn't play terrible, he played okay, he played good. There was some things about his game that were a little bit iffy, but, you know, he dumped the ball a lot. He just threw a lot of screens and a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage. And most of the stuff down the field wasn't on time. That stuff was all scramble plays that he does. And, you know, we've heard that he likes to do that more than likes to run the offense. He likes to have scramble plays. He likes to be backyard ball. He likes to let Russ cook and stuff, stupid stuff like that. But, man, that's a big cap hit, dude. That's huge. And for them to give up all that money and all that capital just to say, you know what, we're not doing it. I can understand, like, Seattle's like, dude, like, we don't want this dude anyway. And you're going to give us this much? Like, sweet. Take him.
Like, it's record-breaking and record-shattering, that cap hit. Like, you know, like, when it took, like, people thought it was impossible to break the four-minute mile. And then once one person did it, like, 6 weeks later, someone broke it by, like, you know, beat it by a second, and then like another second faster. This is like beating the 4 minute mile, and then the next day running a 3 minute mile. Like, this is how big jump this cap hit is. So that was interesting because there's a lot of talk. There was a ton of talk. It was trending all week about Russell Wilson potentially going to the Raiders. At $1.2 million, I said, why not give it a shot? It seems like zero risk. $1.2 million is literally like 0.5% of the salary cap. It's nothing.
Yeah, it's small.
Chump change. Give it a shot instead of signing Minshew. The Raiders didn't do that, and now he's with the Steelers. If he really did want to go to the Raiders, now we don't know if it's like, I want to go to the Raiders and nowhere else unless they say no, or if Russell Wilson was like, hey, there's five or six places I want to go, and the Steelers,
there's some talent on offense, they just need a quarterback, I can go in there and win some games.
Yeah, so you don't really, we don't know on the report exactly, you know, which one was it, right? Was Russell like Raiders number one unless they say no and then I'll move on, or it's a handful of guys and the Steelers just happened to be the right fit, or they answered the phone first, or they offered 1.2 instead of one, I don't know, whatever, right? Like, we don't know that. But it seemed like a no-brainer for me to at least take a shot at Russell Wilson for chump change.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a no-brainer, because there's the money part of it and there's the people part of it, right? Because Seattle was more than happy to get rid of him and put an unproven Geno Smith in there, right? And the Broncos were more than happy to get rid of him and pay him $90 million, damn near $100 million to fuck off, you know? So they were like more than happy to get rid of this guy. And it's not just the coaches, it's the teammates, the organization. Like, they were more than happy to get rid of this guy. So you have to understand something. Like, from this perspective, what we saw from AP and the Raiders last year, the last nine games, wasn't the whole season, right? It was bad the first half of the season. And it turned around the second half of the season. So it's still fresh. It's still new, okay? More than likely, I would say, I would honestly give it a 90 to 95% chance. If we signed Russell Wilson, he would beat everyone else out and he'd be the starter. Okay. So you have a starter, and you've seen recently that Russell Wilson can't put that bullshit behind him. He's still on that bullshit. Okay. So normally, if someone's trying to play the good role, when their true self comes out, is under pressure, either if it's a stressful pressure, or they feel, or the release of pressure, they feel comfortable. I'm comfortable now. I can be myself.
I can have my release.
Yeah. And I'm under pressure and it's going to come out. So if this dude is in here, okay, now I'm the starting quarterback. Now I can just be myself. Now I can do what I want because I'm the starting quarterback now. I'm the best. They're telling me I'm the best they have. So now I can just be myself. And I wholeheartedly, from the bottom of my soul, feel that that's what would have happened. And then now you have an issue because your starting quarterback is on that bullshit. As AP is trying to solidify the locker room here, because this is not like Mike Tomlin's been there for 20 something years or whatever, how long he's been there. It's not ingrained in every single facet, every single nook and cranny of that building. This is new, okay? And I can see it from this perspective where we start winning games under Russell Wilson, he gets on that bullshit, and we're like, you know what? We don't want this. We'll just fucking cut him. It doesn't cost us any money. People on the team are going to be like, yo, they just cut us. They're not about winning on this team. Our starting quarterback, we were winning games, and they cut him. That's the issue that I – because when you come to someone like Russell Wilson who's shown you they cannot conform, who's shown you they cannot act right, who's shown you they're about that bullshit, you have to think, what's the worst-case scenario? And to me, the worst-case scenario is he comes in, he wins the job, and he's about that bullshit, and you have to let him go. That's the worst-case scenario for me.
So your worst-case scenario is that we're winning games?
No.
That's what it have to be. Because if he's a starter and we're losing, no, that's easy to cut him.
Again, RJ, you're looking at one thing and you're completely ignoring the other. You're looking at, oh well, he's cheap, and you're ignoring the locker room issue he's going to have, because he's going to have it.
Okay, we're assuming, because whatever locker room issues there may or may not have been in Seattle, they still won. Like whatever the formula was, they still won with Russell Wilson. Either he can get his act together, or it's not as bad as we thought, or Pete Carroll just knew how to handle it. Whatever the formula was, it worked. Right? It didn't work in Denver with a notorious tyrant in Sean Payton, where it's my way, the highway. That didn't work. That doesn't mean that the exact same thing is going to happen with Las Vegas. It could. You could be 100% right. He could just be off his rocker, and he could be poisoned. That is a very real possibility. But what we do know for sure is that he's better than any quarterback we have. He's pennies. And if it doesn't work out, you can cut him at any time because it was so cheap. Literally day one of training camp, if they're like, this guy's a problem, can him. You could do that. That's how cheap he is. And we have a backup that has started for us and can play.
But is that worst case scenario, though? The worst case scenario part isn't us winning games. It's us having to get rid of him while we're winning games. And now...
why would we get rid of him if we're winning games, though?
RJ, you're ignoring that whole locker room part. You're ignoring the part that we've been trying to build here for a long time.
But if
which
we're
is the culture,
winning cures everything. So like,
not necessarily.
If he's
they were a playoff team the year before they let him go in Seattle.
Well, look.
And if I'm AP, like, the last two head coaches that believed in me got fired.
Locker room good and bad isn't black and white, right? Like it's versions of gray, right? It could be absolutely fantastic, absolutely terrible, but usually it's like, you know, some gray area, right? It's not black or white. It's not like a perfect or perfect or awful locker room. It's normally somewhere in between, right? And so you do that math. Like, does Russell Wilson coming in bring the locker room down a little bit, but we win a ton? Then you take that trade off. If he's making the locker room complete poison and we're below 500, then he's easy to cut. Like, it's not quite that black and white to me. And that's the thing is, like, we're assuming, like, the worst case scenario is he comes in and he is bad and he does start and he is losing and it does make the rest of the locker. Like, a lot of things have to happen in a row for it to be a real problem. Not many things have to happen in a row for it to be zero, like a no risk. And a lot of things could happen where it could be good. Like, the fact of the matter is he's the best quarterback available to the Raiders at the time. That is a fact. And when you have guys like every single player, there's three things you factor: skill set, how much they cost, and intangibles, right? Like if you're amazing at all those, then you're Max Crosby and we're paying you $100 million, right? Like, you could be a really great player, or, you know, a hustle guy with great character, but you're not that good. You can still find a job, right? Like, with Russell, we know exactly what he is as a player. He's top 10 ish in a good amount of categories. Pennies. The second factor is as a 10 out of 10. And then red flags with character. Like, that's a formula to roll the dice on, because you're a 10 out of 10 in one, a 7 out of 10 in the other, and a, you know, somewhere between a 1 and a 5 and 10 on the third one. Like, that's a recipe. Like, let's give it a shot. Hit the eject button. And the eject button's literally right there whenever you want. AP sits down with Russ. Max sits down with Russ. Devontae sits down with Russ and says, your bullshit ain't flying. The ejection seat is right here. We literally installed in the meeting room a giant spring on the bottom of your seat and we're going to hit the red button on the wall, and you're going to go flying out of the stadium onto the strip if you start acting up. And you make that clear.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said last week in the show, is like, you sit him down, you talk to him. I said, if it were to work out, this is what needs to happen. But it's really easy for us to say when it's not our job. Because we don't know what the reach is of that worst part of those big three that you mentioned. The play, the price, and the person. You like that three piece? So that third P could, it's not just himself. It's whoever he can latch onto, whoever he can, you know, plant seeds into. And honestly, I don't know if they want the headache. I really don't. And I understand where you're coming from with the cost. I understand that it logically makes sense why they didn't. That's why I don't have a problem with it.
I do understand why. I 100% understand what you're saying. I get it. It's like, look, here's a headache I don't want to deal with. You know, drama of a free agent I brought in is a black eye to Telesco, for sure. I understand it. But again, like, when you can hit the eject button at any time for nothing, it's like, see what you got. Like, take a sip of the gumbo. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Look,
every one of those P's is going to cost. The player's gone. The price, the money's gone. And the person, like, what's gonna stay behind from that? You know, that's what you have to take a look at. What's the lasting effect of having him be that issue in the locker room? And I don't know. I agree with AP. It's a headache we don't need to deal with, and our locker room isn't as strong and as galvanized as it needs to be. Like a Steelers locker room who's had the same leader going the same direction for the last however long he's been there.
Well, there's also, like, you also got to counter that with what's the locker room going to be like if there's shit quarterback play and we're losing a ton too. Like, that's another part. Like,
you're not going to get shit quarterback play from Farva because you've seen him. You've seen him play. So you know it's not going to be shit.
We've seen some shit out of him, right? Who knows if he's going to jive with Getsy, right? Who knows without Josh Jacobs, how the, like there's still, like, look, let's not. We both agree we more or less know the basement of Farva, and it's not too bad, but all the variables about him potentially being a lot better, a lot of the same variables apply to him being not as good too. So it's like, let's end it with two things. One thing that solidifies your argument, one that solidifies mine. If he goes to the Steelers and crushes it and plays great, that isn't necessarily a direct indictment on the other quarterback needy teams that didn't pick him. For the reasons you brought up, Mike Tomlin, he kept Antonio Brown looking like a normal human.
He kept Antonio Brown's fat old dick in his pants.
He runs a tight ship, butthole tight. If Antonio Brown looked, we heard whispers about him kind of being weird, but it was just whispers.
That shit on the plane, the time he freaking jumped off the bus.
Like, and then he goes to the Raiders and goes off his rocker, goes to Tampa Bay, goes off his rocker, starts beating off in pools in Saudi Arabia, wherever he is. Like, he's right. Mike Tomlin kept that basically under wraps.
Freaking talking about skeeting on chicks' backs when they're sleeping.
So if he crushes it with Pittsburgh, it's a little bit of an indictment that maybe we should have taken him, but it's not apples to apples. First off,
I mean, we're not going to know the full on truth until maybe like 3 years from now. Or a couple of years after Russell's gone from
when the 30 for 30 Pittsburgh comes out, when he gets like
no, if Tomlin's like, oh, Russell really freaking run me through it.
Yeah. And one more thing that kind of solidifies my argument. Let's say that he is a poison and they eject him like halfway through the season. Is there anything that galvanizes this locker room more than cutting out a cancer halfway through a season? Right? Like,
I don't know, bro.
The second Josh McDaniels was gone,
that quarterback position is different.
The second Josh McDaniels was gone, 4 days later, we have the second biggest win of the season and just crushed the Giants. Like, entertainment wise, it'd be great watching him just get like a cancer ripped out and thrown in the trash can, galvanizing the team, a new energy. Get that guy the hell out of here. That's an underrated, and that's most locker rooms. That's a very underrated, like, there's something so satisfying about taking the, like, watching the annoying guy at the bar have two out. Bouncers drag him out by his hair out the door. Was that line from Casino?
Oh, good.
Get him out of here and open the door with his fucking head.
No, right? Get him out. Get him out of here. Get him out of his feet and get him out of here. And use open his door with his fucking head.
Right. There's something like very satisfying about that, that we at the team and we could have got. So he's not signed, but the Raiders were not busy free agent signing. But I don't know. What's the best word to describe how the Raiders have been in free agency the first couple days?
They've been targeted. They've been very focused on what they've gotten. Focused on what they've gotten. Every signing that they've made makes complete sense. 100% complete sense.
All a little bit pricier than I thought, though. Not out of the realm, not crazy, but a little bit more. Basically just three free agent signings. We re-signed some guys, Andre James and some others. But free agent signings. Christian Wilkins, the giant splash. Morning of free agency. Telesco was just like waiting for the for that moment. Waiting as alarm set to address that, pick up the arguably the best free agent in football. I think the best defensive player available in free agency in Christian Wilkins. $110 million contract. A little bit more than I wanted, but within the realm of possibility. Gardner Minshew, which you also mentioned. Again, good money for a backup quarterback, but he is a really good backup quarterback.
But the thing is, you didn't bring him up. You didn't bring him in to back up. You brought him in to challenge and compete for the starting job.
Maybe if they, I still think a rookie's their main goal. But I could be wrong.
Of course, but you brought in competition. We don't have a solidified number one.
You brought in a veteran with 6 seasons, right? Six seasons experience.
Yeah.
And then Harrison Bryant. Tight end out of Cleveland. They didn't pick up his option off his rookie contract. Just like, third string type tight end, $3.2 million for
this
him.
This kid at Florida Atlantic, he was good, man. He was, I think it was a Mackey Award winner. Mm-hmm. He was good tight end, man. He was a consensus All-American. Just got behind Njoku. And he was... Yep. Maybe couldn't block as well as he wanted to early in his career. He was behind Hooper and Njoku. And, Njoku blew up. But this kid's good, man. He can play. He can play. He's a big kid, and he can play. Hopefully, we can develop him and have two really strong. He's a good-looking dude, too. Maybe got a picture of his ass on there. He's a good-looking guy. So, you got a couple good-looking, square-jawed, freaking big, tall, white, thick white boys.
They cut Jimmy G, so they need another good-looking guy on the team just to keep the hotness factor going.
I'm a picture checking.
Roger checking. Yeah, so one giant splash signing. One, anytime you sign a quarterback, it's a big deal in Gardner Minshew, and then just like, all right, see this tight end's available? Let's make our move. So a couple young guys at tight end, just a one-year rental. Not a long-term stuff going there, just something to compliment Michael Mayer this season. It's like I have a little bit more experience to help Mayer come along and play a little bit. That's who we picked up. Who we let go is another big conversation. The giant news. I have it. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players that were under contract that contract expired and they're either like released and unsigned or someone picked them up. Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfrow, Bilal Nichols, Jermaine Illuminor, Meek Robertson, Jimmy G, Austin Hooper, Jerry Tillery, Brian Hoyer. I believe that's all of them. Or any of the, just the ones that matter that I've seen, mm-hmm. seen the field and played it all. Every single one of these guys had a different story with the Raiders. First off, any of these guys you wish we would have kept? Not just emotionally, but with the contract they got, where you're like, hey, I could have went with that. Josh Jacobs went to the Packers 4 years, $48 million. Weird contract. It's basically a bunch of one-year guarantees. The first year is $14.8 million. Basically kind of like That's a second sick. Franchise tag. Yeah, it's like a second That's franchise tag. Sick. Money for Josh Jacobs. Bilal Nichols went to the Cardinals 3 years, $21 million. Only $14 million guaranteed. Jermaine Illuminor went to the Giants, 2-year deal, $14 million contract. I haven't found the guaranteed money on that yet.
It's probably around 8 to 9. It's probably around 8 to 9.
Amik Robertson went to the Lions, 2-year deal, $9.25 million contract, only $4.5 million guaranteed. And Austin Hooper, who just got replaced by our last tight end that we mentioned, 1-year deal worth up to $4.25 million, probably two guaranteed, something like that. Any of those guys where you're like, I wish you would have matched that?
Not really. I mean, the Amik contract looks enticing. Well, we just needed somebody better. I mean, bottom line, we need somebody better at that position. And you're not paying Amik that much money to be a backup. Mm-hmm. So we just need, we needed somebody better at that position. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to disparage the guy, but we just need somebody better. And
that's the one I was looking at. He was super boomer bust. Like he had multiple splash plays where he came up big, but it almost always came after he got beat for 40 yards. Like very consistently. There was that part. That number's real close as a rotational. Cause you know, like hopefully we pick up another number one cornerback, probably I think like if we don't go quarterback right away, I think we go cornerback very early and we have Jack
Jones. I don't have a problem if we don't go quarterback first. If we do corner or any one of the lines and one of the tackles is there, or we get, you know, one of the freaking bomb ass edges that slips to us for whatever reason. Yeah. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with picking one of those guys up, a big nasty or a quarterback or a corner.
I don't even want to like predict what we're going to do with the first round if it's quarterback, because it's all over the place. But I do predict if we don't go quarterback, we do go cornerback. That's kind of my guess, because just of how the draft is lining up and the good corners out there. So he would have been like the number three guy. And I think that's number three rotational cornerback, decent money. I think I kind of feel that a little bit. Until I think of Antonio Pierce and how he wants to play defense. In your face, physical, attitude. Amik has the attitude, but he's tiny. He's a tiny little guy. Like, the attitude's great, scrappy, but you kind of have to be when you're my size on an NFL field. Like, all you have is scrappy. I don't think he fit Antonio Pierce's vision of the defense.
And ultimately, he wasn't as consistent as we needed him to be. Mm-hmm. The way that we play in the secondary is you have to be locked in. If not, there's going to be glaring holes because you're left out there a lot as a corner. You're left out there. You don't have to be like, there were times where we left Hobbs out there in the slot with nobody around him because of what we did with our safeties and how he rotated the linebackers. So it's like, if you're going to be that guy, you got to be that guy. And unfortunately, Amik Robertson wasn't that guy often enough. Mm-hmm. And you could say something very similar to Hunter Renfrow as far as just not being physically, just not being that guy.
He ain't physical. That's not Hunter Renfrow.
Unfortunately for him, yeah. I mean, you can put his heart into another person's body. Like Brian Edwards, you put his heart into Brian Edwards' body?
Route running.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
but dude, unfortunately, man, look, we looked at, like pretty much all we have to say about Amik, unfortunately, but Hunter, I mean, I would love to keep him, not at that price tag, not nearly at that price tag, because ultimately, look, he's lost a little something off the line. He's had two confirmed concussions. I don't know how many did he get returning punts when he just got annihilated and, you know, he was just able to play it off. And one of those, he missed, you know, well over a month with the concussion. And, you know, last year, what was his drop rate? Like 21% or something like that? Like,
he was due $13 million this season.
Yeah, no man. Way. And with all those drops, like, that's his thing, is his hands. And he to drop all those passes, like, it had to go. It had to happen, unfortunately.
Everything went against him. Like, concussions. Josh McDaniels was just like, he couldn't even want him when he signed him. Like, you immediately get Jakobi Meyers, like, immediately when you just paid Hunter Renfrow.
Thank God we did, by the way. Jeez. Thank God,
yeah. But it's like, what terrible management of your squad when you're like, you either pay Hunter and don't pay another one, or if you're going to get Jakobi, don't pay Hunter. But you're like, we're going to do both. we're going to have two slot guys, but we're just going to ignore the one we just paid. And then, of course, Josh McDaniels was a terrible coach and didn't know how to use him. And then he just like, and then the concussions. And then, you know what I mean? It just all just kind of went downhill for Hunter all at one time after his big season 3 years ago.
Yeah. It was like 3 years ago. So look, this is a hard game if you're the ideal size. Okay. If you're not the ideal size with the ideal skill set, the game just gets even harder. And any slippage, because look, if you're like an outside guy and you're like winning the one-on-ones when you're younger and you get a little bit older and you're a little craftier, maybe you can move into the slot a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, well, I can use my route running ability and my craftiness to get open. I still got the good hands. But if you start off as being a slot guy, there's not much for you, not many places for you to go from there. And you're not going to be a third, fourth receiver on a team making $13 million, bottom line.
The Josh Jacobs is probably the biggest story. Not probably, definitely the biggest story of
weird contract, man.
Like, oh, very weird contract. It makes me really feel like Aaron Jones called the Packers bluff. Like the Raiders are like, well, the Packers are like, hey, if you don't do a good deal with us, we're gonna go get Josh Jacobs.
And yeah, we're gonna
go ahead. And they're like, oh shit, we're gonna have to pay Josh Jacobs $14 million to get him into Green Bay. Yeah, crazy contracts. It's like, okay, Josh.
Smart deal by Green Bay though, because I said it before last season started. If you look at his track record, when Josh Jacobs has something to prove, he balls out. When he doesn't, when he's solidified as the guy, he falls back. Yeah. His rookie season balled out. Last 2 years got progressively worse. His fourth year, when he had something to prove, when we didn't pick up his fifth year option, balled out. This last year, he was the guy again. Brought him back on a big contract for 1 year. He was the guy, yeah. Fell back. So basically, the Packers gave him four 1 year deals. The first year is 14.8 and 3 1 year club options. So it's not like you could pick up all 3 years if he balls out this year and you want to keep him. No, it's 3 1 year club options.
Yeah,
totaling what, 33.2?
Well, see, that's the thing. Well, it's smart, but they paid for it. Like,
they paid for the 1 year, which is ridiculous. I don't know why would they pay him that much.
That's my point. Yeah, Josh Gibbs agreed to that because he's getting almost $15 million guaranteed in his first game, in his first season. It's like, it's, you can do whatever you want after that. If you're giving a running back coming off of injury and the worst season of his career, $15 million, of course, Josh is going to be like, yeah, do whatever you want after that. Like, I'm not going to get better than that right now. What if he has another season like last season, right? Like, he's not making more than $4 million moving forward, right? So yep. I think it was smart by the Packers, but they kind of had, but then it cost him on the other end. You know what I mean? Like, you're not locked in him for a long time, but you're paying him crazy money in season one. So, I mean, it's reflective of the running back market. But I think the Packers got swindled a little bit. I think it just feels like Aaron Jones was, you know, didn't play ball, and so he called the Packers bluff, so the Packers had to pay Josh Jacobs. That's what kind of feels like to me reading the tea leaves.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know that the Packers didn't want to. I think a little bit older, right? A little bit more miles on him. Aaron Jones does a little bit more of an injury history. He missed some time last year again, but when he was in there, he was the guy.
Yeah.
But I think the Packers did similar to what the Titans did with Calvin Ridley, is they had to overpay to get him there, and that's what the Packers did, man. They paid 14.8 is thick, bro. That is a thick contract for a 1 year for a running back coming off of a very poor year.
I'm glad we don't play the Packers next season, because I'm very curious how they're going to use Josh Jacobs. I think he was very underutilized in the passing game with the Raiders, despite he got progressively better over the seasons.
They love their screens out. They love their screens. They love throwing to the running backs. You know, so they're going to have a whole new backfield next year because AJ Dillon's gone there too. Yeah. There's a lot of freaking. Look, we say it every year. There's a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of running backs in the NFL draft. There are a lot of quality running backs in this year's draft. You can get one in the fifth, sixth round, and he'll be a contributor right away. There's a lot of guys out there like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the Packers are banking on is, okay, we'll find a guy that we like in the middle to late rounds, and we can pair him with Josh Jacobs, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, there's no X-Raider I'm rooting for more than Josh Jacobs. Not even close.
I don't wish bad on the dude, man. Do I want him to do great? No, I'm not a hypocrite. I don't care. Yeah, just do your thing. You got your money. Good for you. You deserve it. I don't think the running back market is devalued. I just think it's valued, and I don't think that we've seen the value. We've seen the valuation of the running back market. We've seen it.
This is what makes all these running backs arguments so ludicrous. Is you're arguing against math. You're arguing against economics.
It's not devalued. It has a value. And it's if you're one of the tippy top guys, you're gonna get decent money, but you're not that valuable where other guys can't do your job even in the aggregate.
You can't you're never gonna sound right, no matter how emotional you get, no matter how much you yell at 2 + 2, it's always gonna equal 4. Like, oh, it's so bullshit. We're not getting paid. It's like 2 + 2 should equal 7. Like, well, it doesn't.
With Aaron Jones.
Yell at the numbers all you want. Like, that's just how it is. The other big, it was a big one, but no, it was a no brainer, but still big. Jimmy Garoppolo officially cut, same as Hunter Renfro, saving a bunch of money thanks to his drug usage.
Oh, that was such a freaking godsend. After all the BS that's happened to us in the last few years, the last handful of years, all that just nonsense has happened to us. It's always
a little baby win.
Go right.
A little baby win, right? Like,
hey, it's $11 million this year. I'll take it.
The Jimmy,
that's a linebacker.
The Jimmy G, dude.
That's a linebacker and a tackle, maybe.
Pulling back to the last conversation. That's the money we would have saved if we went with Russ instead of Gardner is the starting defensive player. That's the other part I didn't even bring up. It's like, what could that money have been? But yeah, man, where does he rank as far as like worst quarterback signings in Raiders history? As far as like what we paid, how it panned out, injured 3 times in like less than half a season. He was part of, he was like a chunk of the JMD.
There's that. Yeah, there's who was the guy that we got from the Saints? What's his name?
Like when there's so many Blake? Warning signs, like there were so many red flags with Jimmy G and Josh McDaniels is like, nope, we're gonna do it.
It's terrible, man. It's terrible. That, like
that signing.
I can see Jimmy G going to a different, because look, all the bad stuff that we say about what happened to Favre happened to Jimmy G too.
Yeah.
Like he got the same bad coaching and the same, you know, he got the same thing. So it's not like, you know, it was all sunshine and rainbows for Jimmy G and it was crap for everybody else. No, it was bad for him too. I can see him signing on to another team and in a backup role late into training camp, cause he's going to be gone the first couple of weeks. So something happens. I can see him maybe hanging on somewhere and, no serving a suspension, but being a guy that's just in case guy, because with the 17 games, you got to have a competent backup. You can't just go, you know, a starter in a couple of slaps, you know, because honestly, like look at the freaking Bills, dude. They freaking signed a Mitchie baby again because he knows the system and, you know, they're comfortable with him as a backup. I can see him, you know, playing much better than he played with us, not because the team is better, but maybe the situation, the coaching would be a little bit better for him.
Ready to some what a winbacks?
You know what? Yes.
Let's change it up. Yes. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Biggie 6181. Thank you so much for being part of the team. Hey, no RJ Clifford, Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. Intro. Apologies. I missed the show last week. That's part of the reason why there's two of us. When one of us gets screwed over, Soto comes in.
Through the heavy lifting.
The heavy arms. I was in Miami and the hotel, like I looked at my internet speed. It was literally like one
terrible.
Megabyte per second. It
was terrible.
I was like, this isn't going to work.
You open up the router. There's a fucking hamster running in there.
The hamster was running faster than my internet.
God, that was terrible. I was like, uh-oh. At least you did a rundown. Also, I would have been just freaking just sitting here just talking some nonsense.
Well, and the weird thing was, like, it would kick on and then kick off. The next morning, it was up to, like, 50 megabytes per second. I was able to edit it all and load it, no problem. And then later that night, it dropped to nothing again when I wanted to do something. Like, that's I had nice. To use my imagination when I beat off. You know I hate to do that. I need my porno. Tanner Jack, 9520, thank you for being a member. Memberships.
Thanks, Tanner Jack. Appreciate you,
bro. Are available. Come on, guys. Wilson is ass and trash. Please. Look, you could not like the signing, but he isn't. He's literally the second best quarterback. If we'd have signed him, he would have been the second best quarterback the Raiders have had in the last two decades. Like, he's not. You could say all day long you don't like the locker room and whatever, blah, blah. He's not what he used to be. He's not ass and trash, although I love that line.
Oh, yeah, that's a great line. One of the things, like, I look at it very similar to the way I looked at the whole AP versus Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Accomplishment-wise, yes, but who is the best choice for this specific team, the makeup of this specific team, the direction of this specific team? I don't know that that Ruffel is the direction you want to go in.
You then Ibiza. Ruffel
Wilson.
Vacationing in Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Derek Passante, 1828. Barcelona. Arguably best defensive free agent signing in 20 years. Talking about Christian
Wilson. Ooh, it's hard to argue against.
I have to think about that. Because my mind goes to like Rod Wilson, Bill Romanowski, like that was over 20 years ago.
Yeah, Romanowski was a really good one.
That was over 20 years ago. All those like really great defensive players that we picked up.
One of these things, like, okay, the reason why, like, there's layers to this, and I've been thinking about it. There's a lot of layers to this, why this makes a lot of sense. Let's say, like you were talking about in the video, let's just say, for example, that the reason why Christian Wilkins did so well was because he had good players around him. Well, he has a better player now around him than he had over there in Miami. So that's taken care of. And how much better are they going to make each other when, I mean, you got to pick your poison here. Which guy are we going to double team? Which guy are we going to focus our attention? Because you can't focus your attention on the line on two guys.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. And I see them unlocking each other, honestly. And if I'm like Malcolm Kuntz, I'm just keeping my mouth shut and I'm just being right on my assignment. And I'm like, all right, well, if they're paying attention over there, they're not paying any attention over here. So I'm going to be able to feast. And if he can continue to progress against the run, I think we're going to have a really nice front four.
Just imagine if we drafted Jalen Carter instead of Tyree Wilson.
I don't want to talk about that. There's that. And then there's the freaking Leatherwood instead of Darrisaw. How good would our offensive line be with freaking a Pro Bowler, a second team All Pro, instead of freaking Neverwood? Ugh. Yeah, I'm gonna brush my teeth right now.
Leaves a bad taste in your mouth thinking about what could have in the drafts.
And it's not like, look, and here's the deal: it's not like it's like, oh well, this guy got picked, you know, two rounds later, and he ended up being much better. Like, no. There was the consensus best guy at the position on the board available, and you went a different direction.
Position of need, consensus best one.
Look, we've heard the stories about Jalen. He's a little bit of a shit dick, whatever. But look, who cares? I want players.
You need to be
not, a shit dick not at my quarterback. I don't care that much about the other positions. At my quarterback, I do care. But at the other positions, we need players.
All right, that's it for us. Free agency still looming. Still some really good players out there.
What do you think, man? Give me a couple names. Who do you think we should? Who would you like to sign?
There's some guards that could go for easy.
There's some good guards out there.
Good guards.
There sure is.
That we could pick up.
Sure is. Reisner, good guy, good guard. Mm-hmm. Zeitler. DJ Reader, defensive tackle. I don't know if he's already been signed, but I mean, Devin White, the linebacker. If you want a Hunter, you want a freaking seek and destroy missile. Mm-hmm. I think we can pair him very well with Spillane, the lightning and thunder of our linebacking core. And not to say I don't like Diablo, but Diablo they can play together. Diablo has shown to be a little bit, you know, Pete, better.
That tackle from the Saints, Pete, he's only 30. Problem is he's mostly left tackle. He'd have to move. But I think he's one of the better tackles.
In the secondary, we can get for cheap. Dude, if we can get Tre'Davious White on a cheap, because he's been injured the last couple of seasons, we can get him in here for a cheap. We can give him a meek money. We give him a meek money. He's a better player than a meek Robertson. Odoree Jackson's out there.
There's some guys.
Xavien Howard's gonna come. He lost half a step, but he's still really good. Kendall Fuller's good from the Commanders.
I want to pick out there the corner. The corner market's kind of low because there's so many good corners in the draft. You got to take advantage of that. You got to make that's when you make your move.
Cheap, man. Yeah. What's wrong? What's I said this when we signed Wilkins. Like, what's wrong with strengthening a strength? Like, you have a good defensive line last year. You had some guys. You had some good play out of them. What's wrong with tacking on to something that's already good?
If you're doing 2-year, $12 million contract, $8 million guaranteed, like, that's not over. Like, you know what I mean? That's not overcommitting. That's not like
No, it's not. It's like, look,
start stacking those players.
What's wrong with you sign one of these vets on a decent deal and you still draft a guy? What's wrong with that? You just make an area that maybe needed a little bit of work. You made it like a place that's like, wow, this is amazing now.
What I always talk about, you play the market. Corners are cheap. Let's pick up a couple. We still draft our guy, but let's make it a strength. You know, right now, we didn't even talk about it, but like when we signed Andre James, we all kind of furrowed our eyebrows a little bit. Like, he hasn't been playing great. That's kind of good money. But then you realize guards are going for like record-breaking money. And so you keep Andre James so Parham can stay at guard. So you don't have to pay a guard, right? So it's like, this is exactly what I've been saying about draft and free agency. You play the market, and Telesco so far seems like he is. He's like, look, I don't want to, you buy your water bottle at Costco. You don't buy it at the festival when it's $27. You buy it at Costco when it's 50 cents, right? This season you draft a guard or you wait on guard. You don't go to free agency for a guard this season because they're going insane. At corner, you make a move this season. Pick up just a contributor. Pick up a contributor because they're cheap. This is when you start loading up on corners because they're so cheap.
They're so
cheap.
Play
the market. Don't be desperation. We have a hole. We'll take whatever. We'll pay whatever to fill it in. Like, no. Like, you play the market. And it feels like Telesco's doing that.
There's layers to this. Every year, a bunch of corners are selected. Why? Because every team needs a corner. Everyone needs a corner, right? So there's always going to be some washouts that need a place to play. Need a place to do a Baker. Go somewhere and play really well, and then they cash out the following year. What happens when that happens? You get the next crop of guys, and you pick your next couple of vets that you want to get and give some, you know, okay money to, not big money, and let them give them a chance to do a prove it year. You just keep doing that cycle over and over again as you build the other starters on the team, and maybe you end up with somebody like a Jack Jones, who, you know, you still got on relatively cheap, who's probably gonna be your best DB next year. Speaking of water bottles, you said water bottles at Costco. I went to spring training this last weekend in Arizona, visited my family, the Doyers. And waters are so damn expensive there that we actually filled up a plastic bottle of water, and we did that trick with the paper clip where you heat it up and you heat those little nubs and you glue it back together, kind of, you know. And it was water. It wasn't a vodka. It was water, because water.
Oh, in the hotel room.
No, at my sister's house. Yeah, but same thing. Okay. And they looked at it like, all right, everyone, go ahead. You're good. And we're like, yeah, it's water. Could have been vodka, but no, it was water.
Brilliant. Brilliant move.
Brilliant.
All right. That's it for us. As free agency continues, we'll keep you up to date. Stay right here on the Auto Windbacks and become a member. Subscribe. Tell your friends. We appreciate all that good stuff. That's how we keep rolling here at the Windbacks. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.